There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby!
That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. Glad to have you along and checking in with my buddy Michael Yaffe in just 1 second. This segment of the show brought to you by Blue Water Yacht Sales and Service. And this time of year, maybe you've put those hours on the boat, offshore fishing. Maybe you're, trying to get things ready for a fall, fall fishing, whatever it is. If you have work to do on the boat, you can let the certified Yamaha Master Tech on staff at Blue Water Yacht Sales do that work, where they use Yamaha parts, Yamaha engine oils, fuel filters, all that. But if you're somebody who does the work yourself, you can do yourself a favor and call Kelsey. So she is the savant over all things parts over at Blue Water. She's pretty amazing. So we went and hung out with her, and she knows this stuff inside and out. Yamaha and Mercury. They service Mercury as well, and they have the parts for Mercury. So if you are going to put a new impeller in, whatever you're doing on that boat engine, if you'll call Kelsey and give her the engine number or the engine model and the serial number, she can tell you exactly what parts you need for that boat. And if they don't have them in stock, and they got a bunch in stock, they can get those parts within 72 hours. So you're doing the work on your own, call Kelsey. If you want them to do the work, we can call Kelsey as well, or just call the main number 476-2699, or go to bluewateryachtsales.net and take the boat by to get those service that service work done. And also, you think about what gas prices are now, and you're running offshore boats, those engines out there, the most efficiency you can get out of those engines makes a big difference when you come back and start watching those numbers go up and up and up and up. You fill up enough gas. You've done this before, right? You're filling up the boat and it stops because it's like, well, your credit card can't, so you have to go swipe it again. And yeah, so save yourself a couple bucks and make sure those engines are running at top efficiency with Blue Water Yacht Sales and Service. Or like I said, you do the work yourself. Kelsey in Parts, 476-2699. She's there to help you out. All right, without delay, my friend and yours, Michael Yaffe of the Yaffe Program, and his work in print over at Yellowhammer, and his work in the podcast world. And really, as a soldier of fortune, probably doesn't get as much publicity as the other things. It's always good to talk to you. Hey, man.
Hey, what's going on?
Where do you want to start? Where are we going to start with your main candidate, the person that you're the proxy for, Governor DeSantis, tomorrow night as a lead dog in the debates that are Trumpless? I mean, his battle plan being laid out there on the web. Somebody found it, put it out. So your thoughts on that?
I know.
Yeah, what do you think?
Well, he denied that, and hopefully he's right, because it wasn't really a great plan. Although I will say, I think Trump, I can't decide if Trump not being there is bad or good for him. Because since Trump's not there, he is the front runner at the debate. So all the other people are going to go after him. And if he can defend himself well, that can make him look good. But if Trump was there, it would give him an opportunity to debate Trump and show the difference there, and maybe give him an opportunity to, take down Trump, if you can do that. So I can't seem to decide if it's good or bad for him that Trump's going to be there or not going to be there.
I don't like it, obviously, because I want Trump to be there to watch this. I do maybe pragmatically understand why, with the lead he has, he doesn't throw himself in the mix. But I said this yesterday, Michael, Trump's there no matter what, even if he's not physically there. There will be questions leveled, or it's not like he's not there. He's just not there in person. He will be part of the discussion in the debate tomorrow night.
Yeah. Now, I will say, because Fox News is the one doing it, it might not dominate the debate like it usually would. If like ABC is doing it, every question is going to be about Trump indictments, all that. Fox is usually pretty good at not just focusing on that completely. But yeah, I mean, he is going to be the main focus coming up the the bat, and part of that's just because he's the front runner. I mean, you have the guy who is winning, probably going to be the nominee. He's going to come up.
I wonder, like, okay, let's say DeSantis versus Ramaswamy. Is it going to be between those two? Is it going to be, hey, I know how to do the job better, or I have a different vision for America? You see what I'm saying? Like, is it going to be different planks of a platform, or, hey, we all got the same planks, but, man, I am better at doing this than you are?
Yeah, that's a good question. They might try to go after each other's records a little bit. I've seen some conservatives already come out and question Ramaswamy on different things, kind of saying he's a flip-flopper. So maybe there's more of that out there that DeSantis tries to bring up. And they'll try to do the same thing to DeSantis. So I could see some of that happening, but also, like, I'm the experienced one. I have a record of getting things done.
Because I it would be interesting to watch the debate to know if there's any nuance in policy, right? And I mean, there's the things that move the needle, maybe with people like that pay attention to this stuff all the time, and then the people that are more casual in it. But you know, I do. I'm a nerd, and this, look what we do for a living. I want to hear policy differences. I don't know if that's going to come up, or it's, hey, I'm just better.
Well, there will be one area where it will, and
where's
that's
that?
Going to be Ukraine. There's
okay.
definitely a divide there, and it will be on stage on what to do with Ukraine.
So you think there? How many different? There'll be what, one person who's different, and then everybody else the same, or do you think it'll be split evenly?
No,
or?
I think you know, it's funny. It's actually one area where Ramaswamy and DeSantis kind of agree. They're a little less hawkish on Ukraine. But then you'll have Mike Pence, Nikki Haley, Chris Christie, who are very hawkish on Ukraine. So that I could see that divide coming out.
Yeah. What is Christie's? I mean, he's going to be like twirling around without a purpose, right? Because he's there just as the Trump killer. He's there, you know, he's just going to be out trumping Trump. Well, if Trump's not there, what's he going to talk about?
Yeah. I mean, he's just going to bring him up. I mean, you talk about Trump being there with not being there. Chris Christie will be the one to make sure that happens. Everything, he's going to talk about how Trump's the failure and try to call him out. That's going to be his strategy. Does it go anywhere? I don't know. Probably not.
Yeah, and switching gears from that to the person that is currently in the White House, President Biden, and the response. I don't know if you and I talked about it last week. Of course, we probably both did. Coming out of last weekend before last, when the fires were ripping through Maui, and we got President Biden saying no comment, and I was just flabbergasted by that. Not that he had to have any policy, that he wouldn't just say, my gosh, those Americans, you know, breaks my heart. We're going to do everything we can from the federal government, something like that. I mean, I think anybody could just say that off the cuff. But now it's response time. Now they got him, you know, to show up. He goes to Maui. You retweeted something here, or re-exed, I don't know how you say it now, from Matt Walsh.
Reposted, that's what they say.
I'm just going to say re-exed because I'll stick with the brand. It says the media treated Bush's response to Hurricane Katrina as one of the great political scandals in American history. Biden's response to the Hawaiian fires has been in every way significantly worse. Wouldn't know that based on the media coverage, though. Your thoughts on that? You reposted it, so what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, from everything I've seen, the response here from the Biden administration has been abysmal. People over there are not happy. Now, part of that isn't really their fault. It's the local response is really what's more important,
horrible.
And that
yeah.
hasn't been good. But Biden coming out saying no comment, then he goes over there and tries to relate to them with a story about how his cat almost died in a fire or
yeah.
something wasn't even true.
Shut up. Yes.
And then, yeah, and then, like, they give him each $700 and say, well, this will take care. Like, it's just not gonna work. People see through it, but Biden has the media on his side. We know. I mean, all Trump helps Puerto Rico, goes down there, and he, you know, he throws out some paper towels, and it was news for a week of how insensitive he is. Biden lies about something, and most of the mainstream media doesn't care.
You just wonder. I mean, there are handlers. I mean, I don't think I'm pulling the curtain back too far to let people know there are handlers out there that would let him go. He's like, okay, I'm going to tell the cat story. Like, they lost human beings, President Biden. They lost human beings. Let's not go with the cat thing.
You know, it's funny. I'm starting to think his handlers really don't handle him. Like, they can't handle him. We saw those stories recently how Biden's kind of a jerk behind the scenes to everybody. He's, like, really tough.
Yeah,
hard
I think
to work with.
Yeah, I don't know if that's real.
I think it is. I think he is a jerk, but I think you combine that with the senility. So you have someone who's a liar and a jerk, and now he's senile. How the heck do you control that?
I don't know.
Not handlers.
Quote of the day right now from Michael Yaffe. All right. you posted about this, and I talked about last hour, that the law stands, at least for now, right, in Alabama, with the attorney general coming out talking about the victory here in the injunction against using hormone blockers and surgeries and all that stuff for transgender minors, right?
Yeah.
This is, it means, the way I understand it, it means for right now, until it goes to a higher court, this is the law, this is upheld.
Yeah, from what I understand. And what's interesting is you had those filing the lawsuit, they kind of argued that they have a right. We have a right to these transgender treatments. And the court's kind of like, well, I don't think that's like a constitutional right. I mean, sorry, that's just not a thing. And this is good. I mean, this is a victory for conservatives. I think maybe, just maybe, there's been a paradigm shift on this, and conservatives are really starting to win this argument in the culture.
I'm 100% different when somebody turns age of majority, even though it's an arbitrary date. You know, I mean, we could all talk about there's, you know, immature 25-year-olds and mature 17-year-olds. I mean, we could go through that because that's a true thing, but we have to set numbers on things. Once somebody's 18, I don't care. You know, I mean, do like all these things, if they want to do that thing, that's fine. But yeah, there are certain things we do not let minors do, right? And I think that's what they're saying here.
I know. It's amazing how they'll say, you know, you're taking away the freedom of minors. And it's like, are we pretending now that kids have agency in everything? Like, there's a whole reason why we put them in school, why we discipline them, why we teach them things, why we have ratings in television shows and movies, why we don't let them get tattoos, because children are impressionable and things change. But the idea then, but we should give permanent surgery to change their gender just because they feel a certain way, it makes absolutely no sense. We're not talking about adults. We're talking about children. We all instinctively understand this, and I think that's why they're kind of losing that argument.
All right. Tell folks, other than, they're familiar with you when you host this show, Midday Mobile, for me when I go gallivanting somewhere. But your show, your podcast, your writing work, where do they find you?
Yeah, you can follow me on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Yaffe. You can find the Yaffe Program podcast. Just subscribe, listen, share with your friends, all that stuff. And, of course, I write every day at yellowhammernews.com.
Michael, as always, man, I appreciate it. We'll talk again next week.
All right, sounds good, my friend.
All right, there goes one of the good guys. Dig me some Yaffe. Check them out online. All right, coming right back, more Midday Mobile. Grab your calls and text at 343-0106. We can do that spanking story as well. You want to do that? Okay, let's.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 123 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Tuesday. Check in with my buddy Ron at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And right off the bat here, Ron, update on precious metals market. Kind of been watching it since last week. You said there were some buying opportunities, and you still thought yesterday that there's some room in silver and gold.
Yeah, there still is, and prices have started creeping up since the last week drop when the Fed announced that they were going to possibly have two more interest rate increases, which actually caused gold and silver to drop since the dollar got stronger, the same old thing, which makes it much, much easier to not necessarily invest, but create a hedge with the different metals. And there's so many different choices out there. It's not like you were talking earlier. It's not just gold and silver. You got platinum, palladium you can get into, and you don't have to buy a full ounce. You can buy fractionals, 1/10, 1/4, 1/2. So there's a lot of different ways to do it. And we'll help teach people and get people informed on the different types and how to tell whether different metals are real or not here at Mobile Bay Coins.
Yeah, you always education when people come in there. You gave us a little bit of that yesterday, too, because the P metals are, you know, platinum and palladium. People are like, well, they're all real expensive. But you said there's some changes going on, maybe because of what the auto industry might be doing or not doing with catalytic converters, right? There's some motion there.
Yeah, they're waiting for a lull where they could do a changeover is a rumor. They used to make it the catalytic converters, where not the converter itself, but the internal part that actually traps the pollution is made with precious metals. Platinum, palladium, both do a very good job of it. And they tend to buy one for a while, and after the price gets too high and car prices start going up because converters cost so much, they'll switch to the other metal again. And it's been in palladium for about the longest it's been in history on before it switched. So rumors are that the different manufacturers of catalytic converters are looking at maybe switching back over to platinum. So, I mean, now's a great time. Platinum's less expensive than gold, and before the changeover, it was more expensive than gold all the time. So a great time to get into a little bit of platinum.
That is interesting. Can you, are there rounds and coins for platinum, or how do you buy it, in what form?
Yeah, you can buy it in monetarized stuff, you know, U.S.-issued and other world-issued coins that, of course, you would never want to spend because the face value of those coins is a lot less than the actual coin is worth, but you can also buy it in just what's called bullion bars, anything from 1 gram all the way up to 100-ounce bars. And, of course, never 100-ounce bars, way too big to buy. You always get in 1 ounce or less.
All right. So you want to help people out with that? They need to come see you. How do they find you?
We're here at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. They can give us a call, 251-725-1590, or check us out on MobileBayCoins.com.
Thanks, Ron.
You're welcome, Sean.
All right, there he goes. Ron checking in from Mobile Bay Coins. From the text line, Ascension Technologies text line, your mom, the name of the texter, I've heard from your mom and I heard from my mom earlier, said, when is Baldwin County going to start monitoring for West Nile and EEE like Mobile County does? It's almost like they want to keep it quiet that it's here instead of waiting for people to get sick and unfortunately die to find out it's in their community. I think the difference here, and I don't want to get into the what they want or don't want. I don't know about that. But Mobile County Health Department, you know, it's this rare thing. Remember, we discussed this through COVID. There are, I guess, two in our state. Is there another? Maybe it's Jefferson. Yeah, so Jefferson County and Mobile County have health departments. The other 65 counties do not. They're under ADPH. So maybe that's why it happens, because Mobile has its own health department. In addition to being under, you know, ADPH, it's got its own. And I don't think, and Baldwin County does not. Let's see. Summerdale Tony said, ivermectin and antibody infusion solved my Delta COVID problem. I have been around multiple people since that had COVID of different variants, and I've never gotten it again. Good for you, Tony. There you go. This back to a conversation we had, I guess, earlier this hour? No, last hour, about the story of them coming out and saying, well, Americans believe disinformation. You know, what's disinformation today? Let's look back to the whole discussion over years, ends up becoming true. Not all of it, but some of it becomes true in the future. So just remember that. Grains of salt must be taken. That is your vaccine, grains of salt, when you hear things. The FDA, this texter said, the FDA just announced that ivermectin is fine for COVID treatment, the human version. Okay, I did not see that story. I'll look that one up. As a veterinarian. Which, by the way, what do you charge for kenneling? I got to kennel a dog here. As a veterinarian, people will be real upset to learn a significant portion of medications that are used on humans and pets. See, here's a veterinarian backing me up. This is what I was talking about, y'all. Just a small list, and I am going to butcher these names. Cefalexin, clindamycin, doxycycline, fluconazole, meloxicam, tramadol, gabapentin, ivermectin, still number one in treatment for river blindness in Africa, et cetera, just to name a few. So there's a veterinarian chiming in. So, I mean, this idea that, oh, they would take a medicine that's also prescribed for animals, that's a thing. That's like a normal, that's not a, it happens. Jim in Georgetown said, hey, Sean, it should be obvious the progressives are going to try to bring back masks and fear of death before the next election. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to pull their shenanigans. Derek said either Peru or Argentina blew the story up on ivermectin, 73% success rate. Named texter saying, using mosquitoes to vaccinate. Using mosquitoes to vaccinate a population seems somewhat haphazard. Why wouldn't we get vampire bats? That would provide a much more focused approach. Yeah, I just saw that. I don't think it's happening yet, but I saw the story that the Chinese were working on that. And, you know, what could go wrong? They got the bats, too, you know? They got a place there. You hadn't heard. All right, news is next. Coming right back, Parker Snyder, 1819 News, joins me, and we'll get your calls and text at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Tuesday. We're checking with Parker Snyder from 1819 News. A lot to talk about it. Talk about with Parker. Good to have you on. And are you in Montgomery now? Where are you posted up?
Yeah. So thanks for having me on. I'm actually in Birmingham, not capital city, but most of the news seems to be happening a little bit south of us. But
you're in the magic city. What makes Birmingham magic? I mean, Parker is a Birminghamian. What makes it magic?
Yeah, the name origin escapes me, but to me, Birmingham is nice because, you know, I'm actually from Memphis, and it's very flat there. There's no real geographic interesting thing. You come to Birmingham, and I thought it was going to be flat here too, and it's actually very beautiful. You know, the foothills of the Appalachians, and just a surprising amount of natural beauty here, which that's why maybe it's magic in my eyes. I don't know why
it's not
everybody else calls it that.
Yeah, I mean, I was wondering if a density of magicians, like if people didn't know that David Copperfield came from there or something like that.
Lots of bunnies running around in hats and stuff. Yeah, exactly.
Right, that would make a magic city. Okay, I want to talk about what's going on in Montgomery, and this story has actually a municipal level, and then I kind of want to get into maybe a congressional level. First of all, the headline: Montgomery Mayor Reed's reelection concert to feature local rappers who lyrics promote violence and drug deals. Because isn't violence and drug deal an issue for Montgomery like it is other cities? Isn't that kind of like not a good thing?
Yeah, I mean, it is definitely one of the biggest issues in Montgomery. I mean, I tell people from outside of Alabama, like, how, you know, you can live in Birmingham, you can live in Mobile area, or you can live in Montgomery, and they're like, oh, I'm not living in Montgomery. It's very, you know, they think of it as violent and stuff. And so, yeah, last night, Stephen Reed, who's the current mayor, he decided he wanted to have a concert, which makes sense to, you know, promote the election pre-Eve kind of thing. But the people who he chose to be at the concert were some rappers, and some of them, and maybe even many of them, the majority, just have a lot of songs about, you know, violence, and that's not really that surprising, you know, with just like a lot of the content in a lot of rap these days. But there's one video, if your audience goes to 1819news.com and looks at the story, and we posted one of the music videos of one of these rapper songs, and it looks like people getting ready to go out to war. There's mm-hmm. there's a group of people. They've got what looks like to me as a, you know, non-gun person, machine guns. They've got shotgun kind of places. They're pointing it at the camera. They're talking about how they're planning on going and killing people. And it looks, I mean, if it were a different people of a different skin color, this would look very white nationalist. And so anyway, it's very off-putting, and I was just honestly surprised that, because, you know, I hear my grandparents and other people be like, oh, rap is just promoting violence. And I'm like, yeah, not really.
All.
But then you watch it and it's like, oh, this is really, really, really strong and violent stuff that they're saying is like, you know, they're normalizing for everyday people.
Well, okay, we could have the listen, I'm not going to be a hypocrite, and well, I'm trying to wean myself off of it for several reasons, but there's a lot of things I listen to that probably have more violence in them than I'd like to admit in those lyrics, but I'm also not running for the mayor of a city that's being affected by violence, right? And if I was in that position, even if that's on my iPod when I go jogging in the morning or something, I wouldn't have them at my mayoral event. I don't. That's what I don't get. I would say, you know, no, this is not right. This is not the message I want. I mean, I'm running for stinking office here.
Yeah, there's a good question of what is, you know, your vision for the city. And, you know, if I were, I am an outsider to Montgomery. If I went down to this concert and I heard, you know, this is what the mayor wants. He wants I'm not going to say some of these quotes, but he wants this stuff to happen. This is the normal.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's surprising. And today's election day, right now. And so we'll see how it turns out. There seems to be a lot of turnout, pun there, but, there seems to be a lot of people going to vote today. And so there's a chance, but Reed is by far the favorite, in Montgomery.
What about these other discussion? I said we take it from municipal politics to maybe federal politics. I've heard the name come up. If in a redrawn District 2, right, if we go through maybe the plaintiff's maps or some version, that maybe it's not, you know, and depends on what line, maybe it's not Barry Moore running against Jerry Carl, but it could be Barry Moore running against Stephen Reed.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that a thing? Is that crazy speculation, or is there some logic to that?
I think, the logic behind that is that Montgomery is going to be in the main city part of Montgomery, and the population is going to be in District 2, which is different from how it is right now. And a lot of the Black Belt will also be in District 2 in a higher proportion. And so, yeah, this is going to be the district. District 2 is going to be the district where the Democrats try to make it to where that's another majority minority district. That's their second hope out of the seven in Alabama. And so that's Stephen Reed. He's on his second term. If he wins here, if he loses today, then it may be harder for him to be congressman. I can't think of another person who is going to have a high enough, profile to be
right.
Running.
Yeah, what Democrat has higher profile than Stephen Reed, and what could be drawn as District 2?
Yeah, I remember Tabitha Eisner. Mm-hmm. She was running a little while ago, and so there's some people, but nobody knows who those people are really. He's got a official position, and he's got the Democratic Party behind him, especially with just his family and that history. He's running in part here. If he loses his mayoral race, he loses a lot of his chances for Congress, but the congressional race will happen next year. So who knows if he'll even be the mayor in 2 years.
Just joining us, talking to Parker Snyder from 1819 News. This story I've talked about last hour, beginning of this hour, and again with you now, the appeals court striking down the injunction on Alabama's law banning transgender surgeries and medications for minors. So the way I understand this, Parker, is that the Alabama law stands until it doesn't, right? So now it stands. People think this is going to the Supreme Court, but for now, that law is the law.
Yeah, that is exactly right. The law, what basically happened here, and I'm sure you mentioned it earlier, though, is the case against the VCAP, the law that banned transgender surgeries and hormone therapy for people under the age of 19 or 19 and under, or no, just under 19. That law was enjoined, so kind of like just put on hold by a judge, and that judge was overruled on Monday, yesterday. And so that overruling basically turns it to where there's no injunction, and so the law continues like any normal law would, and it's now going to be effective. And so, sure, the liberals are going to be like, well, we're going to put this in, up to court again. And that, I'm sure they will. They're going to sue. But until it's enjoined again, it will be in effect. And so they're starting very soon, if not today. These surgeries and hormone therapies will not be legal in Alabama. And, there's only one place that was actually doing this anyway, was here in Birmingham. And so that gender studies center at UAB is going to have to go on pause for a little bit, hopefully for a long time.
They get to produce their magic there at the.
Yeah.
And I pointed out that last hour, this is a criminal case. In other words, the way the law reads, if one of these places, that place you're talking about in Birmingham, does the surgery, prescribes the medicine, puts the kids on it, they can come after them criminally. The law enforcement come in and arrest them.
Yes, that is exactly right. It's similar to how they arranged the abortion ban. It's where the doctors are the ones that are the ones who are performing these surgeries, or in the case of the abortion, were performing the abortions. Those are the people who are going to be liable, not necessarily the parents who are looking out, or the kids. The kids are, of course, not going to be liable for what is happening to them.
All right. Tell folks that have heard us, Parker, talking about 1819 News. What are y'all all about? You're the ops manager. What's the story?
Yeah, so we are a nonprofit news organization. You know, really the model we're going for is we're trying to be the conservative alternative to AL.com. And AL.com, they've got a lot of reporting. They've got a lot of reporters, but they often put in their liberal perspective into even the headlines. And so you kind of walk away from some of their stories being kind of sad and depressed about, being from Alabama and being, you kind of get the looked down upon from up in Birmingham by the Alabama media group. And so we're an option, alternative, and we're soon going to be, in the next few years, hopefully overpowering them as the media source of record for our state. And so your listeners can see our stuff at 1819news.com, and our website is updated just as often as any other website is. So you can see us then, and can see us on Facebook and Twitter as well.
And also, if you want to be ready for the conversations of the day, people can subscribe, get that email, and know what's going on.
Yes, that email, you can just click subscribe in the top left corner of the website, and you'll get our news every morning. And we won't spam you, but you're just going to get one email every morning around 5:30 a.m.
Good stuff. Parker, I appreciate it. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks, John.
All right, there he goes. Parker Snyder checking in from 1819news.com. A couple texts real quickly here. Some of these, like Rock and Roll Doctor, I want to read yours, but it's going to take a while. I like it, but it's going to take a while. Pat says, you can handle Biden by allowing him to go on vacation for one full year out of three. this texter says, wouldn't the kids' parents have to sign off for them getting the transgender medicine? That is part of this discussion. They're not going after the parents, though. The way they're doing it is they're saying, providing these things in Alabama, the medicines of surgeries and all that, is illegal. So the focus is not even actually specifically on the parents. It is, hey, you can't run this kind of operation in the state, so therefore it's not available. Now, what's interesting, and I think this is unnamed texter here. What's interesting is, what if people will go out of state to get this done in some state that has a different law? That's where I wonder how, and I haven't had a chance. Hopefully the AG talked back and forth with his handlers yesterday and last night. So hopefully he'll be on with me early next week. We don't have dry ink on that, but that's one of the things I want to ask the AG about as well. All right, coming right back. More Midday Mobile. This is FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
We're just checking out this. Speaking of the Mobile County Health Department, we've got a update from them. They do the updates for Maws, sewer overflows. And I saw a sewer overflow and I said, now what? It's like no rain. It's crispy dry out there. Because, we'll get like, I'll be like, well, because of the rain, we had a sewer overflow. And you'd be like, is it enough rain? But in this case, it's no rain. They said it's grease. Don't y'all know? Didn't you? It's easy to be ungreasy and all this. Who's still pouring grease down the drain? It says Mobile Area Water and Sewer System responded to a sanitary sewer overflow on August 21st at, do I give the address? It's on Spring Hill Avenue. We'll do that. Learn more, see the attached news release. We're not going to do that. I'm just going to say that who's still pouring the grease down the drain? Don't do that. Now, of course, then you have the ridiculous, cans of grease out there like I do. And sometimes they burn quite well in a fire, but don't do them. So even when we don't get rain, we're getting sewer overflows. You're killing me, people. You're killing me. All right. Michael says, I believe the city is in cahoots, which, by the way, Michael, things being in cahoots is one of my favorite things to talk about. I do enjoy that. That the city's in cahoots with the local vehicle mechanics. That's why they have Airport Boulevard's lights set the way they do. You can never drive far enough or fast enough for your radiator to be able to cool down your engine. You got that right. Michael, I'm going to do Facebook Lives, or Twitter had the Periscope or X or whatever it is now. I'll do one of those on my way to work in the morning, because the synced lights is a fallacy. And there's a lot of complaints. I drive from west of Snow to our studios here at Airport and 65. So I encounter a lot of the lights that I don't feel are synced. But two of them that are a damn abomination. Sorry about that. Foreman and Berwin. Sounds like a law firm. Foreman there at Providence Hospital, right? That you will sit there. The east-west traffic packed up. There's really not many or anybody ever coming, you know, into the hospital. And that light sits there forever, it seems like. And then at Berwin, right there where IHOP is, I think it's Big Pancake that has that light set to be. So you're sitting there, you're going, there's no one coming out. And here we sit. We're all looking at each other in traffic there. So, Michael, I'm with you. And maybe it is something to do with the mechanics. So local, big mechanic working with Big Pancake and big government out there. My man Wayne said, sorry to bug you there, my friend. You're not bugging me, Wayne. Just found the number I was looking for. The total interest cost to service the U.S. debt is $716 billion, or 14% of all total federal spending. Yeah, so it's up from 476. That was 2022 fiscal year. So it's $716 billion, or listen to that, 14% of all total federal spending. Does that not drive you all? That causes me angst. Wayne goes on to say they masked the real cost in speaking of GDP rather than yearly cost of doing government business. 14% of anyone's budget is pretty high for interest payments only. You damn right it is. And it's going nowhere. That's why I think if I'm in Washington, I do two things. I get, you know, the fiscal hawks, like, man, like, okay, we're all on board with this. They're like, yeah, we're on board. Then I go to people that are big government people and say, what could you do if I could get you on board here and I could get your vote? What if I did this? If we can diminish this deficit and the debt service on it, I'll give you, let's see, because Wayne said it's $716 billion in debt, sir. I'll give you $300 billion to put into whatever kind of cockamamie project you want. You going to vote with me? All right, come on, let's get it done. Let's get it done. That's what I would do. So I'd reach across the aisle and say, hey, we both have a commonality that we think this money should not be going just to service debt. I would like it to go back to the taxpayers that earned it. You would like it to go to, you know, study in whatever study you want to do. Let's split the difference and make this happen. I don't know where this came from. Dave in Gulf Shores sends me a story that says, just don't give your pit bull LSD. Okay, I'm going to try to... Oh, it's something about... Is it... saying? Okay, something about... I have to read it. So, yeah, I saw saying Sam Bankman-Fried. It's the latest indictment there on it, but he said it's subsisting on bread and water diet, according to the lawyer. All right, I don't know about where the LSD and the pit bull come in, but I will read through the story when Feinbaum comes on. All right. Terry says, okay, response to what I said earlier. Good. Said courts have ruled that people who live in state one and go to state two to commit acts that are legal in state two cannot be charged for the act in state one. The state of Alabama does not have the authority or jurisdiction over the territory outside the state boundaries. That makes sense. That makes sense to me, Terry. But don't you think that would be a question? They'll say, well, you're going to make Alabama families travel out of state to get transgender stuff. Well, you know, states do what states do. It's good. This is going to the Supreme Court, of course, but it is interesting that the court has said Alabama's law can stand in the meantime on that. More discussion of the light syncing. Listen, if I could wave a wand to have the lights synced on airport properly, I would. I have no wand to wave, but if I get one, I will wave it. People say cockamamie. I like the word cockamamie. I use that with routine. You can ask my children. They're cockamamie plans. I often talk about it. Quit monkeying around with your cockamamie plans. Okay, here's, and to respond to that earlier text about testing for Eastern equine encephalitis in Baldwin County, a story from KRG said Spanish Fort Estates has confirmed cases of Eastern equine encephalitis over the last several weeks. According to family members of those affected, a 7-year-old girl passed away from EEE and a 72-year-old man remains in the ICU. These cases are prompting the city and county leaders to aggressively fight the mosquito problem. said, we got notifications Friday afternoon from the CDC. We had to sort of wait until we got that before we could move forward. We reached out to the county, immediately started spraying the service area that the county uses, started spraying Friday night and sprayed again this morning. It'll be continued effort till we can identify all sources that are out there. But yeah, maybe, you know, maybe they should get themselves some Sentinel chickens like Mobile County. But I think the problem with Baldwin County is they don't have their own health department. It may be a good thing for the size of government, but they're not like, the reason Mobile County can do all that is Mobile County has its own health department. All right, with that, I bid you good afternoon. Paul Feinbaum show on the way next. I will talk to y'all tomorrow for another edition of Midday Mobile.